Let us worship God, let us sing to his praise and glory, hymn 601, O God, our help in ages past, our hope for years to come, 601. Almighty and everlasting God, who amid all the changes and chances of this mortal life remainest evermore the same, the unchanging and unchangeable one, we bow in humble worship and reverence before thy presence, through Jesus Christ, our Saviour and our Lord. We give thee thanks, O God, for the grace that finds us in thy house and in thy presence this morning, seeking thy face, worshipping thy great name, waiting upon thee in thy holy word. O God Most High, at this time of national remembrance, we beseech thee that thou wilt draw nigh to us, and in the quietness and solemnity of our hearts, wilt thou speak thy living, sovereign word to us at this time, a word that will serve to resolve the aches and the agonies and the brokenness of our day and generation. O God Most High, as we gather together with multitudes of men and women throughout the land and indeed throughout the world at this time, to remember the wounds and the tragedies and the shame of warfare, we pray that thou wilt by thy Holy Spirit be pleased to minister unto us and to them, and that in the midst of the memories of the years, there may come to the heart of all a word from on high that will shed light and understanding upon the tragedies of our experience. O God, our Father, as we remember with pride and with thankfulness so many lives given in the service of freedom and peace, we pray thee that thou wilt so grant in our day and generation such an abhorrence of war and violence that men will instinctively turn from it, that nations and peoples will strive with all their might to see to it that war shall never again be in our experience. And as, O God, the sorrows and the griefs that have come to many hearts and homes are quickened and made the more painful at such a time as this, grant, we beseech thee, that thou who art the God of all comfort and the Father of consolation wilt speak to their hearts also, and in this solemn time of remembrance give to them the gift of thine own peace and thine own solace. Hear us, O God, in these our prayers at this time, and grant that in this solemn hour we may truly hear thy holy word, through Jesus Christ our Lord. And now, in remembrance of the nation's dead, let us stand and observe silence for 2 minutes. They shall grow not old as we that are left grow old. Age shall not weary them, nor the years condemn. At the going down of the sun and in the morning, we will remember them. In remembrance of all who made the supreme sacrifice in 2 world wars, Make us better men and women by thy mercy, O God, and give peace in our time, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Let us sing together hymn 220, for all the saints who from their labors rest. Hymn 220.
Thank you. continue reading in the Psalms this morning, Psalm 107, another long psalm, but we read right through it. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy, and gathered them out of the lands, from the east and from the west, from the north and from the south. They wandered in the wilderness in a solitary way, they found no city to dwell in. Hungry and thirsty, their soul fainted in them. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them out of their distresses, and he led them forth by the right way, that they might go to a city of habitation. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men, for he satisfieth the longing soul and filleth the hungry soul with goodness. Such as sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, being bound in affliction and iron, because they rebelled against the words of God and contemned the counsel of the Most High. Therefore he brought down their heart with sorrow. They fell down, and there was none to help. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them out of their distresses. He brought them out of darkness and the shadow of death, and brake their bands in sunder. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men, for he hath broken the gates of brass and cut the bars of iron in sunder. Fools, because of their transgression and because of their iniquities, are afflicted. Their soul abhorreth all manner of meat, and they draw near unto the gates of death. Then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and he saveth them out of their distresses. He sent his word and healed them, and delivered them from their destructions. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men, and let them sacrifice the sacrifices of thanksgiving, and declare his works with rejoicing. They that go down to the sea in ships, that do business in great waters, these see the works of the Lord, and his wonders in the deep. For he commandeth, and raiseth the stormy wind, which lifteth up the waves thereof. They mount up to heaven, they go down again to the depth. Their soul is melted because of trouble. They reel to and fro, and stagger like a drunken man, and are at their wit's end. Then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and he bringeth them out of their distresses. He maketh the storm a calm, so that the waves thereof are still. Then are they glad because they be quiet. So he bringeth them unto their desired haven. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness, and for his wonderful works to the children of men. Let them exalt him also in the congregation of the people, and praise him in the assembly of the elders. He turneth rivers into a wilderness, and the water springs into dry ground, a fruitful land into barrenness, for the wickedness of them that dwell therein. He turneth the wilderness into a standing water, and dry ground into water springs, and there he maketh the hungry to dwell, that they may prepare a city for habitation, and sow the fields, and plant vineyards, which may yield fruits of increase. He blesseth them also, so that they are multiplied greatly, and suffereth not their cattle to decrease. Again, they are diminished and brought low through oppression, affliction, and sorrow. He poureth contempt upon princes, and causeth them to wander in the wilderness, where there is no way. Yet setteth he the poor on high from affliction, and maketh him families like a flock. The righteous shall see it and rejoice, and all iniquity shall stop her mouth. Whoso is wise and will observe these things, even they shall understand the loving kindness of the Lord. Amen. May God bless to us the reading of his holy word. Now let us sing hymn 636. Judge eternal, throned in splendor, Lord of lords and King of kings. We sing to the tune Rudlan, and may I suggest that the second last line of the hymn had better read, cleanse the body of this nation through the glory of the Lord. 636. In prayer. O God, our gracious Heavenly Father, we pray especially this morning for all those for whom this solemn day is also a sad day, as it awakens old griefs and reopens old wounds in the memory of loved ones who gave their lives in the service of their country and in the service of freedom. And we pray, our Heavenly Father, that long though the years have been since that sad and tragic time, thou wilt surely minister to them and assuage their hearts with the comfort and grace of thy holy presence. And we pray to our Father for those whose grief has been much more recent, in past days, in past weeks, in past months, those for whom this day is also a day of great tenderness and warm and proud remembrance and pain and grief in the loss of dear and beloved ones from their side, from their home, and from their families. O God, who turnest the shadow of death into the morning, and who dost bring sweet and substantial comfort
from the riches of thy word to all sorrowing and grief-stricken hearts. Wilt thou, as we hold them up before thee now, minister unto them tenderly, gently, and lovingly, and grant unto them divine solace in their grief and in their distress. Hear us also, O God, we beseech thee, as we pray for our nation at this time, torn and riven with so much bitterness and hatred and envy. O God, grant that this day's remembrance may bring home to the hearts the folly and the sin of selfishness and materialism and bitterness. God grant a purging of our nation at such a time as this. God grant a will to live in peace with one another, with one's fellow men, with one's neighbor, in justice, in honesty, and in honor. Breathe, O God, thy Holy Spirit upon our land at this time, and may that holy breath rebuke unworthy and base passions in the hearts of men. We pray for those who bear the rule over us. O God, grant, we beseech thee, a spirit that will honor democratic government. Grant a will to make things work for the good of all the people and for the peace and the prosperity of the land. O God, deliver us, we pray thee, from base and unworthy things in our national life. Purge us, cleave our darkness with thy sword, we pray. Smite us and save us all. Hear us, O God, in these our prayers, and grant that in all the services of worship and remembrance throughout our land today, there may steal upon the reluctant hearts of men a word from on high that will summon us into repentance and into peace and healing and wholeness through Jesus Christ our Lord, who taught us when we pray to say, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Hymn number 642, God of Eternity, Lord of the Ages, Father and Spirit, and Savior of men. We shall sing the first two verses and the last two verses, omitting verses 3 and 4, 642. Turn to the scriptures and to Psalm 107, a psalm which has a message sufficiently apposite for this National Remembrance Sunday to warrant us not interrupting our series of studies. What we read here is very penetrating in the analysis that it affords for times of national crisis and misfortune. That's what the psalm is about. But it also has the supreme value of striking a positive note, as well as uttering a fervent prayer, four times repeated, that men would look
to God. As to the structure of the psalm, there is a series of four pictures of human predicament. And if you look at verses 4 to 9, that gives us the first picture, people lost in a wilderness, hungry and thirsty. Then the second picture from verses 10 to 16, picture of those in bondage and in prison, such as sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, being bound in affliction and iron. And then from verse 17 to 22, the picture is that of sickness, fools because of their transgression and because of their iniquities are afflicted, their soul abhorreth all manner of meat, and they draw near unto the gates of death. Then the fourth picture, verse 23 to 32, storms at sea, they that go down to the sea in ships and do business in great waters, for he commandeth and raiseth the stormy wind, which lifteth up the waves thereof. They mount up to the heaven, they reel to and fro and stagger like a drunken man, and are at their wit's end. These four pictures of human predicament, and then these four pictures are followed by a kind of coda from verse 33 to the end, which is different from the pictures in structure, but is very explicit in what it says. God turneth rivers into a wilderness, and the water springs into dry ground, a fruitful land into barrenness, for the wickedness of them that dwell therein. And then the reverse, he turneth the wilderness into a standing water, and dry ground into water springs. So we have, as to its structure, four pictures of human distress and crisis, followed by a statement in which the hand of God is explicitly said to be involved in all this. Now, in the four different pictures, the sovereignty of God is certainly implied. The whole pattern of trouble, crying to God, and God making bare his arm to deliver them, to lift them out of their distresses, emphasizes the reality of the sovereignty of God. And this is explicitly stated in the last section of the psalm, verse 33 to the end. And it strikes me that this is a very needful lesson today, when men's hearts are everywhere failing them for fear. One of the most depressing things today is to take up the daily newspaper and see on almost every page yet another expression of the national crisis. Unemployment, recession, inflation, bankruptcies, and with all that, the increasing bitterness, the lawlessness of men, the politics of envy. I say it's one of the most depressing things to do, to take up a newspaper and read it today. And therefore, this is a very needful lesson All these things are in the psalm. All these recurrent crises. And this is part of the message of the psalm in the four pictures. It keeps on developing crises. But in the midst of all this, the reality of the sovereignty of God. God is on the throne. He has the whole world in his hands, powers and superpowers alike. And there is not a crisis anywhere on the international scene, whether Poland, Iran, Iraq, Israel, America, or on the national scene, but it is in his control and under his direction. And it is because this is so that the implications underlined in this psalm are true. Or to put it another way, the implications of this psalm are true because this also is true, that God is on the throne and that he directs national crises and controls them. Now, there's something very awesome, but also very salutary in the knowledge that, as verse 25 puts it, he commandeth and raiseth the stormy wind, which lifteth up the waves thereof. And it is because this is so that we do well to pay heed to what the psalm teaches in its four main sections, which underline four kinds of human predicaments and four divine interventions. For if anything is clear from the psalm, it is the folly of neglecting God and the things of God, and the immensely hopeful result of seeking God in national life. Well might the psalmist cry out, as he does four times, "Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness, for his wonderful works to the children of men." I was casting about in my mind what sort of title would be apposite for this psalm. And I'm not at all sure but that a suitable phrase with which to sum up its message would be this: "The God whom we ignore." Well, my dear friends, the God whom we in Britain ignore is the God who is in charge. He is the God who directs, the God who initiates crisis. Now, there is no way of getting away from that statement in the teaching of this psalm. It stands out a mile. National crisis, and these incidents, these four pictures, represent Israel in various times of national crisis. And the psalmist says, God did it. That's the message here. And we should have courage enough to recognize that this is a relevant word for our day and generation. But also for our encouragement, let us not forget that the psalmist is speaking from the standpoint of the Lord's deliverance. He could not have written and sung this if he had not in fact experienced the deliverance of God. He is writing and speaking from experience. They cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them out of their distresses. Now, put that forward to the politicians today, And you will see the smile of amused contempt that anybody should be so simplistic as to imagine that Britain's economic plight could be solved by crying to the Lord. But then you see, that's exactly what the psalm says. Because they rebelled against the words of God and despised the counsel of the Most High. Well, you know, God is big enough and strong enough to let us go much further down into the morass yet in Britain. God is big enough and strong enough to let lawlessness and anarchy befall Britain if Britain doesn't learn the message of his word. But I wanted particularly to be concentrating on the more hopeful message of this psalm. And this is why I say that we need to remember that the psalmist is speaking from experience here, from the experience of national deliverance. Now, with that by way of background, let's look at the four pictures. In verses 4 to 9, the picture is of lost travelers being restored to the way. They wandered in the wilderness in a solitary way. They found no city to dwell in. Hungry and thirsty, their soul fainted in them. A very graphic picture of the distress that comes through the perils of journeying. The reference to the wilderness journeyings of Israel is very eloquent, because we know, in fact, from the history of Exodus and Numbers, that Israel wandered in the wilderness because of their sin and their refusal of the way of God. And surely this is an eloquent picture of life apart from God. Think of the secularization of our society today and its lostness, its emptiness, its meaninglessness. This is the end product of secularization. And then in verses 6 and 7, then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them out of their distresses, and he led them forth by the right way, that they might go to a city of habitation. Notice they. This refers, you see, to the nation. It is not a psalm dealing with individual deliverance. It is national deliverance that this speaks of. It was a nation that was delivered out of its distresses. And this is true whether you think of the time of the Exodus, when the people of God were brought out en masse out of captivity in Egypt, or the time of the Babylonian captivity, when God manipulated world powers in answer to his covenant promises and arranged for Cyrus of Persia to be kindly disposed to his people, to let them go forth. You see, we're so very parochial and individualistic in our interpretation and understanding of Holy Scripture. The release of the captives from Babylon was a national occasion of great magnitude. It was something big on a national scale. Our trouble is that we simply do not believe that God is all-powerful. But God is all-powerful. It is nothing to him to put his finger upon a nation and transform a situation in a moment of time. Do you suppose it's any problem to the living God to set the American hostages free from Tehran? Do you really suppose that any nation could stand in his way? It's because in his inscrutable providence, he has not yet ordained it, that they are still in captivity. The finger of God is omnipotent. And we need to remember this in relation to the superpowers also, to Russia, to America. We need to think biblically. This is something God can do for nations. Nations and governments that have lost the place, that are floundering in a morass, that cannot find the way forward. That's the picture here. And I put it to you that it is a remarkably eloquent picture of the situation we find ourselves in today as a nation. Nobody can find the way forward. Here's the answer. They cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them out of their distresses, and he led them forth by the right way, that they might go to a city of habitation. Cry to the Lord in time of trouble. He will deliver. That is the message of the psalm. Oh, that that message might be heard today. The second picture is one of prisoners being set free and liberated, verses 10 to 16. Such as sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, being bound in affliction and iron. Now, notice the general tenor of these words. Being bound in iron would certainly refer to literal captivity, and doubtless the psalmist has the captivity in Babylon in mind when he writes these words. But one does not ordinarily speak of that kind of captivity in terms of being bound in affliction, so that there is a wider and more general reference here also. The kind of bondage into which a nation can come because of its rebellion against the words of God and their despising of the counsel of the Most High. Therefore, he brought down their heart with sorrow. They fell down, and there was none to help. Let me make a comment on the change that I suggested in that last hymn we sang a moment or two ago. Cleanse the body of this empire. But that's out of date now, because Britain doesn't have an empire. Now, aside from the question of whether you might think that was a good thing or a bad thing, the fact is that the situation has changed. And we can no longer think big in that sense. And that's the measure of our decline on the world scene. Does that not speak to the nation? Apparently not. He brought down their heart with sorrow. They fell down, and there was none to help. There then is the picture of darkness and toil and bondage with no way out. What a picture of our present national situation, the recession, the unemployment, the demoralization, the despair, the bondage that no man can break. I felt like choosing G.K. Chesterton's hymn to sing this morning. O God of earth and altar, bow down and hear our cry. Our earthly rulers falter, our people drift and die. The walls of gold entomb us, the swords of scorn divide. Take not thy thunder from us, but take away our pride. From all that terror teaches, from lies of tongue and pen, from all the easy speeches that comfort cruel men, from sale and profanation of honor and the sword, from sleep and from damnation, deliver us, good Lord. Tie in a living tether the prince and priest and thrall. Bind all our lives together, smite us and save us all. In ire and exultation, aflame with faith and free, lift up a living nation, a single sword to thee. That echoes the spirit, you see, of this psalm. That's the context. And this is the time for the cry to the Lord to go up. Our nation is in bondage to its own greed, to its own materialism, to its politics of envy and bitterness. And it's about time that ordinary people spoke up against it. We're being manipulated by a minority of ruthless, evil, unprincipled, revolutionary thinkers. It is time to call on the name of the Lord like this. O God, how long? How long? What an ugly, evil thing it is. The envy that is corroding men's hearts today, that will think nothing of disrupting the whole of industry for senseless, selfish gain. Let us learn to call some ugly things by their proper names. The third picture is that of sickness being restored to health, verses 17 to 22, a still more graphic picture. As well as bondage, there is a great and grave sickness upon the nation. Fools, because of their transgression and because of their iniquities, are afflicted. Their soul abhorreth all manner of meat, and they draw near unto the gates of death. Think of the death wish in so much of our industry today, the sickness unto death. And look at verse 20. He sent his word and healed them. What hope there is there. I remembered about a day of anarchy and lawlessness in ancient time, at the end of the period of the judges, of which it was said that men did that which was right in their own eyes. Law and order were at a discount. And in that situation of national hopelessness and breakdown, God sent his word and healed them. And he laid his hand upon Samuel and raised up Samuel
to proclaim the word of the Lord in the nation. And it was the word of the Lord, not economic programs, not political theory, but the word of the Lord. It was the healing of the nation. How long are we going to take to see that this is the alone hope? He sent his word and healed them. Get behind the men whom God has anointed and appointed in this day and generation. Pray them into power. Pray them into mighty utterances in the land. Pray into them a word from on high that will make governments pay heed. He sent his word and healed them. And let us not think that this is an impractical and romantic notion. The book of Samuel makes it clear that that movement of national renewal originated in a humble woman's prayers about her childlessness. And she laid hold upon God and would not let him go. And God gave her a son, and she gave him back to God. And that was Samuel. That's the way forward. And then the fourth picture, verses 23 to 32. The storm-tossed, rescued by the word of the Lord. What a picture. At their wits' end, verse 27. They reel to and fro and stagger like a drunken man and are at their wit's end. That's God's verdict on politicians of whatever kind. They reel to and fro and stagger like a drunken man and are at their wit's end. What a description of our economic performance in the past 10 to 15 years, from one sad crisis to another, from one winter of discontent to another. That's the picture. Look at them together. The sense of being lost in the wilderness, the sense of being imprisoned and captive, the sense of being sick unto death, the sense of being storm-tossed on a cruel sea. What a picture of our land today. And the final verses of the psalm underline explicitly what is going on. God is at work. He turneth rivers into a wilderness, and the water springs into dry ground. After all, you see, it's his world. He has a vested interest in his world, and he wants it to go his way, and he is determined that it shall go his way. And so he touches a nation with his finger, and the rivers are turned into a wilderness, and the fruitful land is turned into barrenness. And he touches nations with his finger and turns the wilderness into a standing water and dry ground into water springs. And since that is so, then the message is this: keep in with him. That's our deepest wisdom. Keep in with God. Follow his way. A land once fruitful and well watered, reduced to dryness and drought. But a land reduced to dryness and drought can be restored again, and God can make the hungry to dwell therein,
that they may prepare a city for habitation and sow the fields and plant vineyards which may yield fruits of increase. He blesseth them also so that they are multiplied greatly and suffereth not their cattle to decrease. And then this again, they are minished and brought low. You see, if they don't get the message, God does it again. And he will keep on doing it again, and again, and again, until men do get the message.
I think this is a tremendous psalm.
Prosperity can come in terms of this oft-repeated word. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them out of their distresses. Verse 6, verse 13, verse 19, verse 28, they cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and he bringeth them out of their distresses. He maketh the storm a calm.
Now it's only God can do that. And if we're wise, we'll recognize that it's the hand of God alone that can do this, so that the waves thereof are still. Then are they glad because they be quiet. So he bringeth them unto their desired haven. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and his wonderful works to the children of men. And this final word in verse 43, whoso is wise and will observe these things, even they shall understand the loving kindness of the Lord.
Do we observe these things? Are we wise enough to see them? To see their truth? To see that this is the real situation? That this is what is going on in Britain today? Do we see this?
The psalmist says, whoso is wise and will observe these things, even they shall understand the loving kindness of the Lord. Let me sum up. The sense of being lost in the wilderness. The sense of being imprisoned in a bondage from which there is no human escape. The sense of being desperately sick, the sense of being storm-tossed in a cruel sea, the raging streams, as the psalm says, with their proud swelling waves, had then our soul o'erwhelmed in the deep. But blessed be God, who doth us safety keep. You see, they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them out of their distresses. Would it not be wonderful if that word were to come over to the whole nation today, to let politicians and statesmen, to let folk in every walk of life see that this is our need. That God is in control, and that we need to keep in with him if we would know peace and prosperity for the nation. That's the message for Remembrance Sunday. Let us pray. O God, our Lord, we give thee thanks for thy holy word. Give us grace, we beseech thee, to see and discern its message, and grant that with such a word of hope, our prayers may go out for the nation, crying unto thee for our deliverance, that the day might come
when we would worthily praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works unto the children of men. Hear us, O God, in this our prayer, for Jesus Christ's sake. Amen.
Now we conclude our worship singing some verses of that psalm in the metrical version, Psalm 107, verses 1 to 9, that is six stanzas, to the tune Newington, Praise God, for he is good, for still his mercies lasting be. After the benediction, we remain standing for the national anthem, Psalm 107, verses 1 to 9. Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all now and evermore. Amen.